Global unity on world finances was the key theme of the G20 summits in Toronto. But what was agreed to on the major issues was hardly the declaration of a uniformed approach to a shared problem.
Every country will chart its own unique course, but make no mistake, we are moving in the same direction. As I reiterated to my colleagues, after years of taking on too much debt, Americans cannot and will not borrow and buy the world's way to lasting prosperity.
In the end, that's what the Canadian meeting of the G20 will be remembered for, giving countries the green light to deal with their fragile economies on their own terms. Whether to cut deficits or continue to spend was such a contentious issue, it dominated the earlier G8 talks and quickly spilled into the G20 discussions. But leaders were quick to play down any rift.
It's a mistake to think that somehow this summit has been about a different approach between the Americans and the Europeans. The whole point of this summit, with the backing of the IMF and the work that they've done, is that we need to do things in a coordinated way across the world to maximize growth.
So, nations can now continue to spend on stimulus measures if they see fit, or start slashing their deficits if that's what they choose. A big win for Canada, the United Kingdom, and Germany, who are keen to introduce austerity measures. However, the leaders did all agree that making debt reduction should be a priority, with the wealthiest nations given 3 years to reduce their deficits by 50%. Another issue countries are now allowed to go on alone? Bank tax. There had been hopes that the leaders of the 20 wealthiest and emerging economies would act with one voice and implement a global bank levy, a fund financial institutions would pay into and then be able to withdraw from if the economy took another turn for the worse. But what's perhaps sparked the most disappointment is what was not in the final communique.
Well, the communique for the G20, like the communique for the G8, represents the lack of ambition, the real failure of the whole of this whole summit.
Aid agencies were also angry.
There's much more that our leaders could have done from poor countries to represent their constituencies better at this G20 summit.
The Toronto summit hasn't been without its security problems either. Rioting on Saturday led to smashed storefronts and the burning of police cars.
This shit. Rip it. Canadian police have arrested nearly 600 people in Toronto in a police crackdown on protests at the G20 summit. Riot police used batons, plastic bullets, tear gas for the first time in Toronto's history. President Obama and world leaders gathered in Toronto for the summit following the gathering at Huntsville for the G8 talks. More than 19,000 security personnel were deployed in Toronto, and a nearly four-mile-long security wall was erected around the G20 summit site at the Toronto Convention Centre. The security price tag for the summit is estimated at around $1 billion. Thousands of activists in Toronto held marches and demonstrations in the days leading up to the summits. Franklin Lopez of the Vancouver Media Co-op filed this report from the streets of Toronto.
Over the past month, Toronto has transformed from Canada's biggest city to a veritable fortress. But over $1 billion spent to protect the leaders of the G8 and G20 nations wasn't enough to deter Torontonians and people from around the world from being in the streets during a week of action against G20 meetings. Here's Edgar Godoy, a Guatemalan living in Toronto.
Movilizarse en la ciudad, áreas están restringidas. Es una vergüenza que el gobierno de Harper...
It's difficult to mobilize in the city. There are restricted areas, and it's a shame that the Harper government is investing $1.2 billion in security when we have huge needs to be filled, like poverty, like student debt, the need to look after the earth, and to build homes for the poor.
Vivienda para la gente,
Even with all the security, protests got underway well before the summits began. On Monday, hundreds of people gathered and marched through the city, briefly occupying an Esso gasoline station.
We're occupying it in solidarity with the folks here resisting the G20. The police have been cracking down on us all afternoon, so we ducked in here and we're holding it for as long as we can.
This marked the start of a full week of diverse resistance to the G8 and G20 summits held in Ontario. But instead of just organizing an anti-G20 convergence, people in Toronto worked hard to ensure that the messages of resistance came from community members across the city. Syed Hossan from the Toronto Community Mobilization Network explains.
Our focus has always been on building community power. In particular, we've done that by holding community forums, free barbecues, free lunches and dinners. We've been going into immigrant communities. We've been going into shelters. We've been going into welfare lines, waiting, talking to people. And this is a dual process. We're not just saying, hey, come to the demonstration. We're saying, what are your issues? What are your concerns? How can we actively work to challenge them? That includes a protest, that includes a forum, that includes a direct action at their workplace or at their landlord's house.
On Tuesday, radical queers and disability activists owned the streets of Toronto, pulling off a spectacular demonstration against the increasingly negative state policies against gays, lesbians, gender benders, and blenders. Hundreds of dancers, lovers, and marchers denounced barriers against queer migrants, the corporatization of the Pride Parade, and increasing discrimination against gay people. Ro Velasquez from the Queer Resistance Network was one of the many who spoke out.
Queer people are people of color. Queer people are criminalized every day by police brutality. Queer people are not let into this country because of their gender and their immigration status. Queer people are poor with disabilities.
Queer people are poisoned and diseased. Mining's not what people need.
The next morning, crowds led a toxic tour of Toronto, stopping along the way to speak out against the banks and corporations wreaking environmental and climate havoc around the world. One of the key targets of the march was the Royal Bank of Canada, a major financier of the Alberta tar sands. Here's Mel Basil from the Wet'suwet'en Nation.
Right now we're organizing against pipelines that propose to cross our territories to Kitimat from Summit Lake. They would contain 525,000 barrels of oil, dirty oil, per day. And that amounts to 7 pipelines. That looks at about 1,500 tankers per year.
The Royal Bank of Canada, together with Suncor, a corporation devoted to extracting tar sands oil, were part of a select group of corporations that participated in the first ever G20 business summit, where corporate heads sat down with G20 finance ministers in the days preceding the main event. As people marched, dozens of undercover police made their presence felt on the street.
What's your badge number?
What's your badge number?
Get that out of my face.
Demonstrations continued to grow as the week went on. On Thursday, people gathered on a march led by indigenous peoples and followed by thousands of supporters. Art Manuel from the Secwepemc Nation explained why indigenous people are resisting the G20.
They're talking about how they're going to consolidate wealth and power for their own countries and the companies that exist in them. And we're not for that. What we're for is for more locally based, recognized economies.
As the march snaked through the city of Toronto, crowds chanted "No G20 on stolen native land," reminding passersby that the city is built on the territory of the Mississauga people. Friday, as GA president sat down in Huntsville, Ontario, over 4,000 people from all over Toronto came out for a march called Justice for Our Communities. Police attempted to enforce mandatory searches and to prevent those attending the march from bringing in picket signs and banners. But people refused to be intimidated and instead took over Allen Gardens, serving food, making music, and dancing. Here's Genevieve DeGuire explaining why she's protesting the G20.
I think that what G20 symbolizes is the control and power and decision-making of the matrix of control that exists at these high-level meetings, whereas real information, the cultural, linguistic information, for example, that the deaf community has, a culture that's outside that matrix of power, it's never going to get into the matrix until the matrix is taken down.
Organizers rejected Toronto's claim to being the most diverse city that's ever played host to the G20, and instead highlighted racism and discrimination in Canada. Organizer Mohan Mishra explains.
Canada's trying to trumpet its diversity as a good thing for the G8 and G20, but when you actually look at what diversity means, when you look at the way that, for example, immigrant women of color earn 44% less than a white man, when you look at the poverty in immigrant communities right here in Toronto, we can see behind that diversity to the way that people of color, marginalized communities, poor people are really treated here in Canada.
As the party moved from the park to the streets, riot police made their presence felt and tensions rose. Even though police beat and arrested a deaf man who was later denied an interpreter, demonstrators reclaimed the streets for nearly 4 hours before retiring to Allen Gardens for a block party in a tent city. Lisa Schofield explained the decision to erect tents in the park.
The Canadian government is spending $1.2 billion on the G20 summit. And that money, when you calculate it, could have been spent on housing all 80,000 people who are currently without proper housing in the city of Toronto for over a year at the market rent.
That evening, the first arrest was made under increased police powers, which allowed anyone walking within the 15 feet of the 6-kilometer-long G20 fence in downtown Toronto to show identification and submit to searches without warrants.
Put people back to work and protect public sector jobs.
Students, teachers, trade unions, communists, queers, indigenous peoples, and anarchists joined with groups of Tamils, Kashmiris, Iranians, Tibetans, and Ethiopians to denounce the G20 and fight for freedom. A man named Francis marched carrying a coffin for democracy. Here's why.
Today, 20 people from the richest countries on earth will make decisions that will affect the whole planet. We must ask ourselves why only the richest countries decide for humanity. In my opinion, it is anti-democratic.
As the march made its way through Toronto, people shouted slogans demanding land, freedom, and self-determination. Marcher Ulises Garcia explained the long road of struggle that led to the mobilization.
They are creating mechanisms to take our natural resources away from us. This has been going on for 500 years, and now it happens with even more agility.
Partway through the permitted march, a contingency of at least 1,000 kept their promise to break away and head towards the G20 fence. Police cars were burned and corporate storefronts were smashed. Hip-hop artist Illogic explains.
We're not targeting people, we're targeting property. No people were targeted or hurt, only corporate property. No small businesses, just the corporations who are killing our planet. And that's the important thing to remember. It's not violence. They are the violent ones.
In the hours that followed, demonstrators who gathered at Queen's Park, a designated free speech zone, were violently arrested by riot police and police on horses. In this clip, independent journalist Brandon Jordan is beaten down by riot cops.
No, no, no. Get up.
By midday Sunday, more than 560 people are reported to be detained. A lawyer representing arrestees said that people are being denied wholesale their rights. While G20 leaders talk behind high fences in downtown Toronto, the streets have been deemed unsafe for anyone who has resisted against the summit. At the time of filing this story, people are still speaking out, and arrests continue.
There is a war going on for your mind. Media mavens mount surgical strikes from trapper keeper collages and online magazine racks. CoverGirl cutouts throw up pop-up ads infecting victims with silicone shrapnel. Worldwide passenger pigeons deployed paratroopers. Now it's raining pornography. Lovers take shelter. Post-production debutantes pursue you in NASCAR chariots. They construct ransom letters from biblical passages and bleed mascara into the holy water supplies. There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slaying test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get stitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barred curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the media these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind.
We are the insurgents.
This special motherfucking sedition, live from the streets of resistance in Toronto, was made possible by slaves like you. Thank you very much.
We have three levels of fences, and we're isolating the city like, you know, we're preparing for an armed insurrection. So, and sometimes you get what you prepare for, and then you think you were right all along.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show that pushes peeps over the motherfucking fence. I am your host, Stimulator, and speaking of fences, on the first day of the rebellions against the 20 gangsters of the capitalist mob, I decided to take a peep at the 5-mile-long fence that has taken over downtown Toronto. The fence was built to protect poor people from out-of-town hooligans who plan to burn and loot their neighborhoods. Not. The Freedom Fence is actually there to make sure anarchist troublemakers don't spoil a party for the global slave drivers, and with a budget of $1 billion and thousands of pigs patrolling the perimeter, well, one can only see who has the upper hand. Here's Anna from Toronto commenting on the Freedom Fence.
It's ridiculous. It's a lot of money. I think the money could have gone to better causes, especially with all the protesters talking about what they need the money for. The money could have gone to them.
But the motherfucking resistance does not give a flying fuck about no motherfucking Freedom Fence, and on the first day of the week had a mini gathering to test the waters of the police state.
This police state is a massive mistake. We're about to see fascism. So before it's too late, start smashing the state, break the banks. Don't give the bankers a break. They give orders to the pigs in the streets and give them quotas to meet. Power tripping when they hold in the heat. Big brother's watching and he knows where you sleep. We don't need no pigs and no prisons. We need healthy communities to live in. We don't need systems, no politicians. We act directly to change our condition. Freedom can't be given. You gotta take it and make it your mission to live every day like your vision of escaping the system of enslavement to riches. Action and strategy, now wishful thinking. Don't forget the pigs are listening.
Since submedia will be there all motherfucking week, we decided to talk to one of the organizers of the anti-G20 convergence to find out what the fucking deal is. We caught up with Syed Hussan to get the skinny. Hey Syed, how the fuck are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Wait a motherfucking minute, you are not Syed. Sorry about that. So why are the G20 countries so fucking fucked?
As we know that the G20 is particularly focused on impoverishing global communities. They're responsible for bank bailouts. They're responsible for war and occupation. They run 90% of the world armaments, are responsible for most of the arms trade, support the wars across the world, which displace people in impoverished communities.
Motherfucking politicians are fucking scared that anarchists are going to come and burn Toronto down to the ground. Can you tell me what kinds of other things people can expect from protesters?
Since the mobilization started, I mean, it's called the Toronto Community Mobilization Network versus the G20 shutdown group, right? Our focus has always been on building community power. In particular, we've done that by holding community forums, free barbecues, free lunches and dinners. We've organized dozens of them in the last 8 months. We've been going into immigrant communities. We've been going into shelters. We've been going into welfare lines, waiting, talking to people. And this is a dual process. We're not just saying, hey, come to the demonstration. We're saying, what are your issues? What are your concerns? How can we actively work to challenge them? That includes a protest, that includes a forum, that includes a direct action at their workplace or at their landlord's house, whichever it is. We're using this moment to build community power.
The media keeps focusing on the security of these motherfucking gangsters, but Toronto pigs have been known to kill peeps left and right. What the fuck?
Police brutality is an ongoing concern, and it's extremely close to the heart of many of our organizers. Every day I hear about friends and families who are being pulled over, people who are harassed and intimidated. I've done workshops in Jane and Finch where the police have just barged in, just walked around and just walked out. And so there's ongoing harassment and intimidation. Some neighborhoods in the city have, you know, around-the-clock surveillances. The Toronto Police has been involved in 500 deaths in the last 5 years. They've tried themselves 31 times and acquitted themselves 31 times. Just recently, an 18-year-old young man from Jane Finch was beaten to death. His neck was broken. He had severe bruising and contusions, and they said that he had a heart attack. I mean, these are lies, these are huge concerns, and the community is mobilizing. We are working to produce a top watch. So the ongoing police brutality is a concern.
This is the last time the G8 will meet, and it will morph into a larger criminal syndicate called the G20. What's the fucking deal?
The G8 should have been replaced the last time it happened. I think the shift towards G20 is a co-option. It tries to put out the idea that now, you know, two-thirds of the world's population are represented, and it's absolute nonsense. I mean, what we know is that the G20 leaders collectively have a 30% popularity rate. What we do know is that these in the poorer nations, the elites rule, and in the rich countries, the elites rule. So this is just a convergence of the interests of the few and the elite. And this is most significantly showcased when, prior to the G20 meetings in Toronto, will be the meetings called the B20. And the B20 is a meeting of chief business executives from these 19 countries, plus the EU, as well as members of the IMF and WTO, that will come together and set for themselves an agenda. And then they will have direct interaction with the G20 financial institutions and premiers over the actual weekend. So those are the interests. So whether it was the G8, the G20, or the G198, the interests of most of the people on the planet are not being represented.
Thanks, Syed. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World's Been Running If You'll Find. Stay tuned this week for more updates from the streets of resistance on my fucking website, stimulator.tv.
Yeah. FreakRadio.org. Going into 16 years of unlicensed broadcast. MIA, Born Free, brand new, not yet released. We're covering the G20, and we're going with It's the End of the World.
This special motherfucking sedition, live from the streets of resistance in
Freak
Toronto,
Radio,
was made possible by slaves like you. Spank you very much.
Slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, a gender-bending roller coaster ride of fun. I'm your host, Stimulator, and on the second day of the rebellions against the global criminal syndicate, also known as the G-motherfucking-20, a coalition of queers, homos, trans folk, gender-benders and blenders, fierce femmes, leather daddies and mamas, poets, voguers, artists, brazen butches, freaks, riot girls, and boys, MCs, porn stars, singers, dancers, and ruckus cussers assembled an impressive posse of creative resistance. As expected, the motherfucking police had no love for queer folks and beat up and arrested a member of the resistance.
Taking down someone hard, they were beating them. When they pulled him up, he was bloody across his face. They dragged him off inside. They're not answering questions as to why they're arresting.
But that unfortunate incident did not damper the lovely mood of the march, and things brightened up a bit when the march paused for a massive display of public affection. But making out was not the only thing on the minds of this lively crew of queer radicals. A big gripe that folks were bringing to the forefront was the corporatization of the annual Pride Parade and the censorship of pro-Palestinian queer folks, Leonard Sunyaga explains.
Queers against Israel apartheid got banned, got censored this year by Pride Toronto, and basically the queer community, we just created a coalition called Pride Coalition for Free Speech, where we are demanding Pride Toronto to remove the ban of the word Israel apartheid.
Susan Gappa of the Rainbow Health Network explained the demand of transsexual and transgender folks in Canada.
One thing that the state can do to alleviate the harassment and discrimination that trans people face is to give them explicit, clear human rights protection. This is incredibly important that trans people, transsexual and transgender people, have the same rights that other disadvantaged groups have.
But other folks are sick and tired of petitioning the motherfucking state and had other ideas.
No fuck shit up! Revolution! And nothing but! We deserve what we need on tables from corporate greed! More than just equality! Liberation from poverty! No more short-term band-aid fixes! Say hell yeah when they call you bitches!
Sucks that Zionists and greedy corporate pubic flussers have infiltrated the gay pride scene in many cities. It's inspiring to know that there's a growing radical anti-capitalist, anti-colonial gay movement that connects to the discrimination gay folks have suffered to the struggles of many other fucked over peeps. To dig deep into the radical queer movement, I spoke with Ro Velasquez of the Queer Resistance Network. Hey Ro, how the fuck are you?
Amazing. I can't believe this happened and we pulled it off, which was awesome.
Okay, so you're gay and you are protesting the G20. What the fuck?
A lot of people don't make the connection that, for example, queer people are people of color. Queer people are criminalized every day by police brutality. Queer people are not let into this country because of their gender and their immigration status. Queer people are poor with disabilities. Queer people need special diets. They need the welfare rates to go up by 40%. And this is not happening in our city. And we say to the international community that Harper is wrong, that Harper does not pride himself in women's rights or human rights or queer people's rights, because as soon as we have human rights here, he forgets about everything else. He forgets about immigration status. He forgets about special diets. He has budget cuts on our education, our children's education. And queer and trans people, our mothers, our fathers, our parents, they are going through the perils of the immigration system. And we're saying this is how our identities are. We have a history of resisting police brutality, a history of resisting against the state's repression in our bodies. And we're saying as queer people of color, as migrants, we've had enough of your lies.
So how well do the G20 countries treat queer folks?
What we see is that, you know, while one country can pride itself in queer rights, so we have gay marriage here, we have all these freedoms and pride, which have been censored, by the way, but, you know, this is not being brought to the table. Gender justice is not being brought to the table at an international level at all. So what kind of, like, hypocritical opinion is that of Harper, that he can have some rights here while people all over the world are being victims of hate crimes just down the street, you know, like in Buffalo and in, you know, in the States? These are issues that are not being talked about in an international level because we're not important enough. The only important thing right now is the economy, which also affects queers. right? But we're saying our safety, our streets are not safe right now. Toronto is not safe. Canada is not safe. And neither is the rest of the world. And that's why we're here taking the streets.
The anniversary of the Stonewall riots is coming up. Why is it important to remember that event?
People who know the history of Stonewall know that this was a police raid on bathhouses and on clubs, especially for gays and, you know, lesbians and whatever. But, yeah, and it was a gay and lesbian raid by the police, by the state. And we need to remember that the police is not our friend, that the state has never been our friend, and the only way that they can be our friends is because they want to manage us, like they're managing poverty, like they're managing, you know, budget cuts and whatever.
There are plenty of protests that queer folks can take part in this week during the G20 rebellions. Do you have any advice for them?
I'm saying be safe, travel with people, travel in groups. I also know that many people are not out, and that is very okay. You don't need to be out. To just, you know, check yourself and see where you're at.
Thanks, Ro. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine. Big ups to Jelmer for sticking some cash in my tip jar to keep this coverage going. Halbasa. Stay tuned to Stimulator.tv tomorrow for a toxic tour of Toronto, and all weekend long as the motherfucking resistance turns up the heat on the G20 meetings. Now, who took the bump on the bump palom?
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.
But the fun is just beginning! We have a week full of actions left that we can queer up as much as we fucking want! So come out Thursday for Indigenous Sovereignty Day! Come out Friday for Justice for Our Communities! Come out Saturday to get off the fence! And come out Saturday night to take over the streets!
Hello, we're the Devil Makes Three. When we're not illegally downloading music from the internet, we're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.5 FM.
101.1, dude.
101.1, you fucked it up.
On, oh yeah, we have a radio station. On Free Radio Santa Cruz. What's the matter with me? I'm losing something. What is it? Oh yeah, my mind.
Cut! Take two! Radio Freak. Radio Libre, Libre, liberación de tu mente, de tu corazón, de tu espíritu aquí en Santa Cruz.
El boom.
En la...
Damn, it's... Oh, yeah. You can't say nothing when he talks.
101.1.
This is David Rovix, and you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.5... Oh, fuck, I fucked it up. This is David Rovix, and you are tuned to... No. This is David Rovick, and you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.5 FM. Seize the airwave. Oh, fuck, it's 101.1.
This special motherfucking sedition, live from the streets of resistance in Toronto, was made possible by slaves like you. Thank you very much.
I am here to speak about the women, the children, and the men in Kenya whose lives are in danger because they cannot grow their food anymore, because they cannot survive the increasing tropical diseases, because their houses have been swept away and buried in floods. And I am here to say that these problems have been caused by emission of greenhouse gases that has been emitted by rich industrialized countries like Canada.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, where toxic tyrants are taken to task in Toronto. I am your host, the Stimulator, but before we take you on a ride on the toxic tour of Toronto, I'd like to introduce you to a new section to this motherfucking show. I call it Bacon Bits, and you can only imagine what this section is all about. The TO50 have been busy harassing activists for the past few months, and have increased their swiney behaviors over the past 2 days. One of the casualties of this police state is Byron Son, who apparently planned to monitor pig chatter and post updates on Twitter. But is anybody's guess why Byron was abducted, since a publication ban was placed on the court proceedings? This reminds us of the case of Elliot Madison, who got nabbed by the feds for the same fucking thing in Pittsburgh last year during the G-motherfucking 20.
I have found that there were at least 24 Twitter feeds going on, everywhere from the police to the G20, to Ron Paul supporters. Everybody had their own Twitter feeds going on. They decided to criminalize me, I think, because of the fact that we were in solidarity with the protesters.
On the streets, the Popo has followed peeps after demonstrations and in some cases detained them for the most ridiculous shit. Lara was one casualty.
I was across from the park where a small group was gathered. Police cornered me, prevented me from entering my workplace, and wrongly charged me with possession of burglary tools. The burglary tools in question were my keys to my workplace.
During today's peaceful march, many folks alerted us to the presence of many plainclothes cops. It's tricky business to say who's faking it and who's real. But there seem to be dozens of beefy, non-vegan, jockey-looking dudes with headphones and backpacks on the periphery of the march. Who knows? Maybe there was some meathead convention in town. Submedia special correspondent La Malvada decided to ask them the burning question, cop or no cop?
Excuse me, we were just wondering if you're a police officer.
None of your business.
Will you deny that you're a police officer?
I'm talking to you.
I don't want to talk to you, buddy. It's okay.
Well, I'm just trying to do a story, get in the feel of how people react.
Cool, man. What's your badge number,
get
sir?
Get that thing out of my face.
What's your badge number?
Don't touch my camera. Don't touch my camera.
What's your badge number?
Get that out of my face.
Excuse me, sir. Will you deny that you're a police officer?
Last but not least, our team encountered this young man while he was being detained by a Royal Canadian Mounted Pig.
This is Shersu.
I just left the G20.
I throw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under I Ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live, able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prisons. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy. A way of life based off the common need. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed. The average black man, little third of his life in a jail cell. But the world is controlled by the white man. And the people don't never get justice. And the women don't never get respected. And the problems don't never get solved. And the jobs don't never pay enough. So the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a
no more bondage.
As the booty poop-shooting BP oil covers Florida beaches with sweet crude blobs, corporate extractors in Canada continue their hyper-exploitation of North America right under our noses. Today's march wanted to shine the spotlight on some of these chorizo breath capitalists who will gladly destroy the planet for a few bucks.
Right now, BP and other oil companies, including Esso and Shell, have claims in the Arctic. They're trying to get in there and do oil exploration and put in wells itself as well. And they're trying to do it in the least safe and most economical and profitable way possible for themselves, which means one well, no safety measures.
Yep, the insanity of civilization will have us poking holes in the planet while creating more and more spills, leaving the earth looking like a crazy bread scrotum covered by a Triscuit or pubic snare. If you've been keeping up with this motherfucking show, you know all about the
motherfucking tar sands.
An amazingly destructive project in which huge chunks of land are decimated to extract.
Bitumen is this filth that they pull out of the ground in order to extract oil from it and burn it because the planet is not warm enough yet.
And the largest deposits of this dirty fucking tar sands oil are in?
This is happening in Alberta in the so-called tar sands, which people should understand is a permanent, continuous oil spill happening right here in Canada.
One of the biggest financiers of this planet-destroying madness is the Royal Bank of Canada. But the tar sands are not the only thing that they are funding.
I'm here coming from Central BC. I'm from Sykes First Nation. My community is one of the communities along the proposed pipeline and bridge route. And RBC is financing the most destructive project on earth. They are financing the death of my people at Ground Zero, at the tar sands, where my family go to hunt, fish, pick medicine.
Across the cities of the plain, there's no swimming in the heavy water, no singing in the acid rain. Red alert, red alert. It's so hard to stay together, passing through revolving doors. We need someone to talk to and someone to sweep the floors. Incomplete. On my shoulders, but what am I to do? Yes, sometimes I be crazy, but I worry about you. I know it makes no difference to what you're going through, but I see the tip of the iceberg, and I worry about you. Page from the red book and keep them in your sights. Red alert, red alert. Left and right's a passage, black and white's a view. You can face the knowledge that the truth is not the truth. Obsolete.